We have a Rashi at the very beginning of Kol HaBasar that has to be taken under advisement. And Rav Soloveitchik has a very unique and original way of learning this Rashi. Again, you and I might not be convinced that that's what Rashi has in mind, but at least I want to share with you the Rav's reading of this Rashi. The Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasar establishes that all types of basar, which means both behema, chaya, and ov, all three of them, A, are also levashel b'cholov, and B, also alosam ala shulchan with gvina. And Rashi now, in the first Rashi in the Perek, says that the Torah says gedi. Why does the Mishnah include all categories of basar? And he tells you to look at a sugya at the end of this perek, and there are two opinions. One opinion is that gedi is just a representative of all types of basar, which means ov and chaya. And then there's another opinion that says that gedi only refers to behema, and as far as ov and chaya is concerned, that's all derabbanan. Why do I emphasize the first Rashi? Our discussion is going to be on the second Rashi, is because clearly when you put, you should put the second Rashi into focus, into a framework, and that is that we're discussing all forms of basar, which, by the way, is the absolute conclusion of the Gemara. I mean, there's no debate about it. The debate between Rav Yosef and Abaye and the Gemara is going to be whether our Mishnah holds that Of and Chaya is Doraisa, because Rav Yosef can't tolerate that you can't put Of Derabbanan on a table with Gvina, because in the worst case scenario you'll eat it together, and there's no Isar according to the Torah to eat chicken with milk if you hold like that, mind the Omer. So it becomes Gzera. So therefore Rav Yosef insists that Of is Doraisa. That's our Mishnah. Abaye says no. Abai says that our Mishnah might be holding that Of is Durabbanan. And that's the final Maskara. The Gemara asks, so if Of is Durabbanan, isn't it Xera? And the Gemara introduces what, again, I don't want to prejudice you, but I think it's a real dachik answer, that we're afraid that he has both Gvina and Basar on the same table, and he's got a Kli Rishon. In other words, there's some sort of pot that was removed from the fire, but it's still boiling hot, and he's going to put both the gvina and the cholov into the same pot,
since they're on the table together.
Correct. Now again, keep in mind, Yosef, it doesn't mean that the Isur of Halah only applies when he has a Kli Rishon on the table. Don't misunderstand me. But we're afraid of that scenario. You know, in other words, they're serving a porridge, a cholent, and it's got meat in it. And when they serve it, they bring out the pot from the fire. And that's called a Kli Rishon. And that's already Bishul Doraisa. So it's not Gzera, because if I allow you to put both Gvina and Basar on the same table, then you might be tempted to dip it into a Kli Rishon. And that's the whole basis, or the whole, how should I say, the whole philosophy here of the Isur Halah. Now, I'm going to say the following, because the Rav doesn't say this, but I think what the Rav is going to about to say is should be seen in the light of this comment. And that is that Rashi on the Mishnah is not committed. In fact, he's negatively committed to the final maskana of the Gemara. Rashi is going to explain the Mishnah according to what we would say intuitively without the maskon of the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to yell and scream, why is it also to put Of and Gvina on the same table? That's Gzera, because in the worst case scenario, you're going to eat the Of together with the Gvina, but Of itself is the Rabbanan.
But that's not what the Gzera is about. They're worried that if you think Of is Basar, then what will happen is that since you'll be eating the Of with the Gvina, you'll then come to eat real basar with gvina also.
You're right, and I'm going to come back to your point in just a minute, because that's a brilliant point. But again, just on a technical level, just think it on a very superficial technical level, you're putting Gvina and Bos on the same table, and Oaf on the same table. Now you're saying that he's going to make a chiluf in here between Oaf and Basar. If Oaf is only Darabanan, we're afraid of a chiluf, then he'll confuse it with Basar Behema. But wait a minute, he's not eating Oaf with Cholov. So you want to tell me I'm not allowed to eat Oaf with Cholov because I might, tomorrow I'm going to eat Basar with Cholov, right? But what is he doing? At the end of the day, he's just putting Oaf and Gvina on the same table. So you're afraid that he'll eat that together. So what's the tragedy if he eats that together? The answer is that might lead him to eat Bos or Behema together. So again, we'll get to your point, Alan, in just a minute. But you know, on one level, we can begin to appreciate, you know, Rav Yosef's kasha. Abai tries to answer this kasha by introducing an ilfas, you know, a kli rishon into the equation. But initially, when we don't know about this kli rishon on the table, then Rav Yosef seems to be very, very, very right. You know, he's very correct. It is, in effect, a two-stage gzera. You know, you have to worry about he's eating the oaf with the gvina, and even if he eats the oaf with the gvina, you're worried about another thing, that tomorrow he's going to eat Basar Behema with the gvina. It does sound awfully similar to gzera, and that's Rav Yosef's kasha. I mean, Rav Yosef is so impressed by this kasha that he's forced to the position of interpreting our Mishnah as reflecting the shita that Basar Oaf is Doraisa. Now it makes sense. If Basar Oaf is Doraisa, and you might come to eat oaf with oaf with gvina, then you might possibly be touching on a Doraisa. Again, the Gemara is going to ask, but it's not Derech Bishul, etc., etc. But Chach, you know, you're putting two substances together that are Basar B'Cholov, right? That are Basar B'Cholov, because you're holding that Oaf is also Basar. But again, Rav Yosef is a little bit inhibited here, because if Oaf is only Drabanan, then at least on a Doraisa level, Oaf is not Basar. And you want to talk about gzera of oaf atu basar, that's one thing. But then to say halal ashulcha because he'll eat the oaf with the gvina, that's already going too far. I can definitely identify with Rav Yosef. Now Rashi on the Mishnah, he doesn't know anything about ilfas, and he's going to just in very human, you know, straightforward pshuto shel mikra terms, he's going to address the question: what are we afraid of? If he puts milchiks and fleishiks on the same table, what are we afraid of? So let's read Rashi. Rashi says the following: Osu lahalos, dilma osi lemichlinu. Did I pronounce that right? Lemichlinu ki hadodi. So I'm going to take a stab at this. I'm going to say that ki hadodi is the same as biyachad. Can you accept that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say that lemichlinu is the Aramaic, you know, conjugation of the word lechol, leochlam in the plural, right? Mm-hmm. So Rashi is saying that if you put the milks and the fleshes on the same table, we're afraid maybe you'll come to eat them together. Biyachah. Now, if that's the case, then what Rashi is saying is, tell me if you disagree, because again, we're not up to the punchline of Rav Soloveitchik, because that's in the next part of Rashi, but here I think we could all agree. It could be a unanimous decision of the jury. What Rashi is saying is that he might put the basar and the cholov, or the gvina, in his mouth simultaneously. Is that? I don't think we can argue about that. That's what Rashi says. Okay. Now let's ask the next question. Okay, so Rashi's claiming that he will put both of them into his mouth simultaneously. That's not the Maskana Sagamara, but Rashi's not committed to the Maskana. Rashi's explaining the Havamina. In the Maskana Sagamara, it's not that he's going to put them both into his mouth. First, he's going to dip them both into a Kli Rishon, and he's going to cook them together. Okay, fine. That we don't know about. That's classified information. Now Rashi adds four words. Let's read these words. Dekonagi ubali mihadodi.
That's more than just sitting on the table.
Well, again, we already said asilu michlinu ki adodi, right? So Rashi is saying that he's eating them simultaneously in his mouth, and then Rashi seems to okay. I don't want to prejudice you, but what does he mean when he says the kanagi? There's contact between the two of them. That's a pretty fair assumption. I mean, otherwise you'd have to take the cheese, wrap it up in a plastic, put it on the right side of your mouth, and take the meat and wrap it up in a plastic and put it into the left side of your mouth. Obviously, Rashi's saying ki is the kanagi. They're obviously, you follow what I'm saying? You put meat and milk in your mouth together. I think it's a pretty fair assumption that they're gonna touch each other. There's gonna be contact. No, everybody agree with that?
Well, you're saying those words apply after you put them in your mouth?
I think that's what Rav Salvechik is assuming, because otherwise Rashi should have said inami or something like that.
It sounds like he's saying Dilma Asil Mechlin, you might come to eat the two of them together. Why might you come? Because they're touching each other on the table.
Okay, fine. That's another way of explaining it. That's not going to upset the Rav. The Rav is asking, what is Rashi trying to add here when he says, quote, Dekanagi ubali me'adadi. Well, let's erase those words. Let's bracket them. Would we be at a tremendous loss? You're telling me that he's eating them together. If he's eating them together, why do I have to know? Again, maybe Yechiel wants to say that maybe Rashi means that even Afilu Titzlov, he's not going to eat them together, but he's going to somehow put them together on the same plate or something like that, and they're going to touch and so forth and so on. So here's where the Rav steps up to the plate with a whole new pshat in Rashi. Now again, as I've told you a million times, I apologize for badgering you with this. You've heard, it's coming out of your ears already. This is all Torah mipi Hashmua. The Rav is not here. He's not saying the shir. Somebody put this together There's a whole gamut of people who try to record the Rav Shirim, and some of them are better, some of them are worse. So, all I have is this safe in front of me, which you have a copy of. And that's what I have. That's Ein L'dayel Asher Rav Dov. I'm not sure, if this is just on the side, I don't want to say anything political, but this man never heard the Rav Shirim. He's too young to have heard the Rav Shirim, I think, as far as I know. So now we want to know whose notes he was relying on. It's already a klishlishi, if I'm saying. So if Rav Shirim took notes, and then his son-in-law, who's a brilliant writer, I mean, he's incredible, if he took his father-in-law's notes and Rav Auerbach and he put it together, it's at least, maybe the Rav had that in mind. Maybe. I'm saying here it's a little bit more, but take it with a grain of salt. But here's the way he says it. The Rav wants to say, according to this transmission, that what Rashi has in mind is a principle called blila. Blila means that when you take two substances and you add a liquid into the equation, let's call lach, then I'll give an example. Let's say yayin nesach falls into yayin shalheter. So that's called yesh blila, right? The liquids combine together into one entity. For example, Rabbi Yehuda goes as far as to say that in lach balach there is no bittul at all. Because you can't say a bittul if it's one entity. Bittul means when you have like a battle, a conflict between the two. So Rav Salvechik wants to claim that according to Rashi, when you put cheese and meat into your mouth, how would you call those substances? Are they lach or yavesh? Yavesh, right? Name. Rashi wants to tell you it's lach. Because you salivate.
In your mouth.
And once you salivate in your mouth, you have a tarovus here of lach balach. I mean, again, he's putting a whole world into this Rashi, which you and I never would have seen. And what that's on a pshat level. Rashi's saying that when the two substances connect to each other, and now he is chewing them up, what's happening is it becomes a tarovus of lach balach. wild, right? That, I mean, I'm not here to judge, but and therefore Rashi emphasizes balei mehadodi, which means blia. This is a blia. Now there are different types of blia, but generally speaking, two solid substances, unless there's a liquid, there's no blia. I mean, again, you might have hadocha, you might have klikik. If one of them is hot, it's kidei klipa. I mean, whatever the dinim are, we're not learning Hilchos Tarovos now. But that's not really called Tarovos. Tarovos means bali hadod. In other words, if you would take a Talmudic dictionary definition of Tarovos, it's bali mehadod. There's a blia. And in this case, because he's chewing them together, Rashi says it's going to be a blia. It means that you can no longer isolate the meat and say, well, the meat is meat and the gvina is gvina, because balei me'adod, because they're each, you know, contributing a taste to the other. That's because we don't have a tarovus here of yavesh b'yavesh, but rather of lach b'lach, or lach b'yavesh, whatever it might be. That's on a pshat level. Now the Rav goes on to ask a second question. Why does Rashi tell me this? What is Rashi getting at on a conceptual level? And he wants to say the following. When you take milchiks and fleishiks and eat it simultaneously, that's a no-no. The Rabbanu will not allow that. I mean, the Rabbanu even go further. They're not even going to allow you to eat it bazach or zeh unless you wait 6 hours in certain cases. Or they're not even going to allow you to put it in the two on the same table. But one thing is upgrade. You have no doubt. This I can stake my reputation. You're not allowed to eat milchiks and fleishiks at the same time. If anyone tells you otherwise, send them to me. I'll know what to do with it. So now the question is, why did the Rabbanan say such a thing? Ah, you know what I'm going to say? Because I'm a balabos. I'm not a briska lamdin. So I'm going to tell you the Rabbanan are afraid that tomorrow you're going to cook them together. And then if you cook them and eat them, oh my gosh, who know how many set of malchus you're going to get for that. So the Rav says, nay. That's not what Rashi is trying to convey to us. Because if you're afraid that you'll cook it together, says Rav Salavitch, that's called a gzera. Rashi wants to go beyond the gzera. Because once you get into gzera, you're going to talk about gzera, 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 gzera. There is such an unbelievable chain of gzeras. And keep in mind, Rashi is referring even to Oaf. Because Rashi understands that Kol HaBasar includes Oaf, as the Gemara points out in the first sugya here in this parak. So Rashi pulls a fast one, and he says, you know what, if you eat milchiks and fleishiks at the same time, then you are eating basa b'chol. That's not called exer. That's called basa b'chol. Only to Rabbanon. But to Rabbanon, it's basa b'chol. And that has tremendous repercussions. If we're talking about gzera, tomorrow he'll come to cook it together, then, okay, fine, I won't eat milk and soufflations at the same time. But don't tell me that if I can't put them on the same table. That's already going too far. Don't tell me that I have to wait 6 hours between bas and cholov because I might be considered as if I'm eating them both together. I mean, one gzera after another gzera, the answer is, says Rashi, name. It's not a gzera. The Rabbanan said that this bali me'adodi. And if it's bali me'adodi, that is basa b'chalav. What is basa b'chalav? Basa b'chalav means that the tam of the basa went into the chalav and vice versa. The Torah says that's going to happen when? Through cooking, through bishul. And the Rabbanan said it could happen through a taromis of lach b'lach. But it's a mirror image of basa b'chalav. And if it's a mirror image of basa b'chalav, that has tremendous repercussions. We can add oaf to the equation. We can talk about halal ashulchan as a gzera atu basa b'chalav, because it is basa b'chalav.
But once it's basa b'chalav, then for instance, let's say the amount of time you wait afterwards, it depends on the amount of shamnunis and whether it gets stuck in your teeth. And then you have to say that the basa of oaf has exactly the same characteristics as the basa of behemah. Otherwise,
okay, we'll have to work out all the right. So we have the price of Agra, and he says, you know, maybe in the case of Oph, you don't have to wait. You know, we're gonna have to go through all the nitty gritty details. But Rabosai, do you see the way that Rav is interpreting this Rashi? It's a major breakthrough. Again, I'm only talking in the first person. I don't want to implore you in the same guilt. But we meaning the royal, we used to thinking in terms of Xeris. You know, this is not Basa B'Cholav. No way, no how. He's eating meat and milk. That's called Basa B'Cholav. Why is that called Basa B'Cholav? He's eating meat and milk. Call it Basa Im Cholav. Don't call it Basa B'Cholav. And the Rabbanim are going to say, well, there's no Bishul, but tomorrow you'll do it with Bishul. That's Xera. But the Rav is I don't know what word to use. Soled in Hebrew. You know, he has a certain disdain for Xera here in this context, because once you talk about Xera, I mean, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't understand. I'm learning Basa B'Cholav here. I'm spending half of my life in Basa B'Cholav these days, and I don't understand the first thing about Basa B'Cholav, because one Xera after another Xera, what's the Chum of the Week Club? I mean, what's going on over here? And we're going to soon see that Tosfos Shita is not enough that he cleans his mouth out. He's got to wait 6 hours, and he needs both. And it's endless. And then Tosfos is going to introduce Minhagim. Forget it. Once we get to Minhagim, it's just Ein L'Davar Sof. It's just, I don't know, I have a lot of trouble with it. And this is all based on what? On the fact that he's going to cook it together? I mean, you know, it's like a whole Chagadi here, you know, a domino theory. A is going to lead to B, and B is going to lead to C, and finally when you get to Z at the end of the thing, he's going to cook it together. I mean, like, give it a break. But maybe, just maybe, the problem is not that he's going to cook it together, but that he's going to eat it together. And that's a chutzpah neira to say such a thing. Who gives you the right to say that the ultimate here at the end of this domino is that he's going to eat it together? What do you mean he's going to eat it together? He didn't cook it together. What do you give a hoot whether he eats it together? And the Rav is claiming that that Rashi added 4 words in order to solve this problem. Let me just show it to you inside in the text. Again, this is everything about this text is Beiravon Mugbal. Because it's a kli, I don't know what you call it, but can I borrow the text? It's right behind you. I'll just show you the language here. He quotes Rashi in a paragraph that starts Vehine Miloshan Rashi. On the top right, you should see it says Kuf Tzadi Vav. Do you have a paragraph that says Vehine Miloshan Rashi?
Yep.
Yeah, you have it? Okay, so he quotes the Rashi. And then on the fourth line, he writes the fine Mashma, Desfir Leila Rashi. The Rabbanon Osru Achilas Basa V'Cholav B'Yachad. Why? Because when he eats Basa V'Cholav B'Yachad, Shema Yivlu'u Zemizek. And I would have written it a little differently. Again, I wasn't there at the Shia, so I can't tell you. He wasn't there at the Shia either. But I would have said, the Nechshav Shenivlu Zemizek. That's what I would have said. Okay. And not only that, I would have said, I wouldn't say not Yibolu Zemizeh, but Yibolu Tam Zemizeh. I mean, the Iker of Basa B'Cholav is the Tam Cholav in the Basa, and vice versa. Oh, Pirush HaDavar. Here's where the Rav comes up with his whole scientific theory. The Al Yidei Achila Ule Isa. Leisa means that he's chewing it up. That we know from the third parak of Ksubis. Remember Leisa?
Yeah.
So he's chewing it up. Hashinayim Tochnim Es HaOchel. Okay, with his teeth, he's grinding up. Obviously, he's giving us a whole, like, this is biology 1.1. The digestive system. Right, digestion begins when this is what they told me when I was in fourth grade. That digestion begins as soon as you start chewing. Umahafchin oso lekemach dak dak. So he pulverizes by chewing this mixture of meat and cheese. Vivokapeh, now he salivates. Mechabras hakol biyachad. Imamish has a tarobis. I don't know, you know, it's up to you, you're the jury. Is that what Rashi had in mind? That's basically, but he's building castles in the sky in this Rashi. Vishuv nidon hakol kitarobis lach balach. Now, I think what he means by lach balach is that if he chews up the meat to and pulverizes it, You know what I mean by pulverize? I mean, it's like he turns it into a powder coming. He's really changing the whole substance. Then when he adds the saliva to the equation, it becomes lach balach. So now we understand what Rashi means, Yivlu Zemizeh. There's Mamsha Bliya both in both directions. Okay, fine. Let's just say Shkoyach, I accept the whole theory, the whole biology here, and I'm gonna put this into Rashi. Say that's what Rashi had in mind. So what? Okay, good. I mean the Rav is not interested in biology. So he says, Mashra, what we derive from this Rashi is a mind-boggling conclusion. The Sfirle Rashi. The Isur Achilas Basar V'Chol of Derabbanan. And again, why is it Derabbanan? Because there's no Bishul. And in the case of Oaf, it's Derabbanan because even if there would be Bishul, Oaf is not Gibi. Nigzar B'Toras Isur Cheftza. What does he mean? Nigzar B'Toras Isur Cheftza. It's not just a Gzera, but it's an Isur Cheftza, meaning this is Basar V'Chol. Albeit Derabbanan.
And it's true of both Basar or Oaf, even though Oaf has two chesronos?
I think so. I think that's what he's saying, because otherwise, you know, Rashi is left out in the cold over here. So if you take a look in the previous paragraph, he says, Yesh la'ayin, on the second line in the paragraph that starts with Bibir, he says, Yesh la'ayin begeder, Yesh la'ayin is the same as Yesh la'achkar, right? Yesh la'ayin begeder isud rabbanon lechel basar im cholof. If you chew meat and milk simultaneously in your mouth, what's the getter of an iser? Ha'imu rak iser. Again, I would have said, because I know Sam is very sensitive to this, so I would have changed it to iser gzera. Okay, he calls it iser gavra. O dilma iser cheftza shabosav achol misarvin bitof piv. When he's eating it and chewing it and salivating on it, and his bliya zebazeh, nase v'nechshav midrabbanan. It's an Isur of Basar V'Cholof. Midrabbana. There's a Rabbana like dropping the condition of Bishul, and all it requires is Tam Basar V'Cholof and Basar V'Cholof, and you can achieve that same goal through chewing them together at the same time.
So why didn't the Torah say not to eat it?
I don't know. Why didn't the Torah add the precondition that he cooked it together? Why didn't the Torah just say don't eat it together? I don't know. That's already a heavy question. I'm sure there's an answer to your question, Yosef. I just don't know the answer to your question. What I could do is I could put my head down for a few minutes and try to rack my brains to come up with an answer. But I don't want to do that simply because I have an agenda for today.
I don't get
so.
The question. The Torah doesn't have a problem with it unless you cook it together. Then, of course, it's possible for
right, but I think we could go beyond that, Sam. I think there's something more to it, you know. Yeah, in a halachic sense. I'm not talking about... this is not a class in philosophy, you know.
You're still calling it the Rabbanan, this...
For sure it's the Rabbanan.
So if it's the Rabbanan, so he can call it anything he wants? A Gzera is a Gzera is a Gzera? This is a real...
No, we're going way beyond the Gzera, Rabbanan. Yeah, yeah, Gzera means, you know, don't do something because it might lead to something else. It doesn't mean that you're guilty of Basar V'Cholof. For example, I'm going to ask you other questions. Let's say I cook Oaf B'Cholof. Is that Osir Banah? Well, it depends. And this is going to be a gigantic machlokas. If you're going to call it Basar B'Cholof, then it's Osir Banah. If you're going to call it a separate Gzera, I don't know that we have to go as far as to say it's Osir Banah. You understand my point? Or, for example, what happens if this Taroves gets mixed up in another tarovas? So do I need shishim against the whole mixture? Do I need shishim only against the cholov, only against the basar? Do you follow what I'm saying? If I'm talking about it, this is basar b'cholov, that this mode of nesinas tam, the rabbanon substituted that for the bishul mode that the Torah insisted on, then you're talking about a tam basar b'cholov, meaning whenever I bite into the cholov, I'm tasting the basar, and vice versa. Then I need shishim against the whole thing. Trust me, Alan. This is not a game of words.
No, I understand.
I understand, and I appreciate, you know, the hisnagdus here. You know, we have a natural hisnagdus to lumbus. It's true. If I was, I'm not a psychologist, Sam, but I would submit to you, and maybe it's a healthy thing, that we are very cynical or very skeptical about lumbus. And it's true, but if you begin to see that we're not just splitting, you know, it's not a tells the chakir is the cup half filled or half empty, but we're talking about really nitty gritty questions here. Is this called basar b'cholof? For example, in Shabbos, we had a chakira, whether or not the Rabbanan are creating a malacha or not. Then we said that Rabbi Kivega says that if you violate a malacha the Rabbanan b'meisid, you become a mumar. But if I'm going to tell you it's only a gzera d'rabbanan, it's not a malacha d'rabbanan, then you don't become a mumar. And I can give you 10 other nafkaminas.
But what would be the motivation for Chazal to aser this when, if the criteria has to be...
I'll tell you why. Because Chazal didn't understand why Bishul should be a prerequisite. They were bothered by Yosef's kasha. So you know what they said? Let's use a human understanding to round off the edges. And I think they do this all over the place. You follow what I'm saying? When the Torah adds a technicality, the Rabbanan tend to drop that technicality. For example, let's say the Torah says that in the case of Chaliva, I have a technical reason why it's not a malach. Why? Because Ein Disha El B'Gedulei Karka. What difference does it make if it's Gedulei Karka? It's the same Disha. So here's where the Rabbanan are going to square the edges, if you find, round off the edges. And in Hilchas Shabbos, you'll see it left, right, and center, that there are technical requirements or conditions, and the Rabbanan are going to say it's also even without those technical. So you and I could say, well, that's just a gzera. Because today you're going to do it here, and tomorrow you're going to do it there. There's another way of going. And maybe it's not gzera. Maybe the Rabbanan are redefining the Torah concepts. Again, it's always going to remain the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan are authorized to create new gedarim. It's really the old gedar. Like for example, there's a famous chakir, we discussed it here when we had the Derech HaLimachu. What about Truma de Rabbanan? Trumas Yerokos is the Rabbanan. So one sheet is going to say, well, there's no such thing as Truma on Yerokos. The Rabbanan are creating something brand new. And others are going to say, no. What the Rabbanan is saying is that Truma de Oraisa only applies to Zaysim, Anom, Tirish, V'Yitzar, and they're broadening it to include Yerokos. But all the laws and all the regulations that govern Truma on a Doraisa level are going to apply to the Rabbanan level. And there are 50 million examples of this throughout Shas. So I'm prejudiced because I've been trained to this. You know, it's very hard for me to be totally objective, but I really believe, based on my life experience, that this is a real, real chakira. This is not diburim bi'alma. You know, we're not talking about some semantical question. We're talking about real issues here.
So the Rav is calling when you're chewing the process, that is Bishul.
That's a rabbinic Bishul, so to speak. Why? Because what does Bishul accomplish on a Dorais level? Nesinas Tam. If you could accomplish Nesinas Tam, like for example, what would you say about the following? Kavush. And I'll give you so many examples. There are many ways of Nesinas Tam without Bishul.
Sure.
Rosea, Maliach, and it's all us in the Rabbanan. So I'm going to ask you why. So you're going to say to me, today you're going to do a Kavush, and tomorrow you're going to do Bishul. I don't have to say that. All I have to say is Nesinas Tam. Bali Adodi. There's going to be a Bliya in Kavush. Kavush Arehu Kimavusha. Mahusha. You know, you smoke to smoking pots. There's so many different ways that you can transfer Tam, such that you can even fool the kfeila. At some point, the kfeila himself doesn't know whether you cooked it or not. So he tastes basim cholv in his mouth.
So the Rav would say, everything he described, all this that's going on when you're chewing and doing that stuff, forget it. You don't have to chew anything. If I put the basar and the oaf basar and the cholv in some sort of a kli, and I grind it, and at the same time, I have the appropriate liquid in it. I won't say just plain liquid, the rum maybe.
Yeah, but Alan, you don't even have to come on to that. I didn't even put it into anything. I'm just putting it into my mouth.
You know what I'm saying?
If he puts the meat and the milk together and he uses this and he grinds it, this and that, that's Ogaret, that's for sure also the Rabbanan. But I'm saying that the Issa the Rabbanan applies
to eat. Not the mix.
Right, to eat. And I'm saying that the Rav is saying in Rashi that the Issa the Rabbanan that applies even when you put it into your mouth and you grind it in your mouth, even that's like grinding it or like kavush, like soaking it, etc., etc. It becomes a Nesinas Tam. That's how he's touching up Bali Ma'adot. There's a mutual Bliya. You know, yeah, it's a whole loop shot.
But is he putting the, for instance, is he being more careful about that? Specifically,
correct. We're going to be absolutely more careful.
But talking about doing it and chewing it, is different than what I just described to you in a kli.
But I'm saying with the kol shkein, if you can't even chew it together, how much more so you can't eat it from this kli?
When you're talking about in a kli, you're talking about putting water or something in there. When you're talking in your mouth, you're talking about saliva that has enzymes that break down the meat and so forth and make it more.
Ah, so you're saying maybe water is different than enzymes. Okay, I don't know. I'm not learning Shulchan Aruch with you. You know, I'm going to ask you what the dinim are. But when we talk about basar v'cholov biyachad ba'achila, which is only the Rabbanon, what we're talking about is Bali Ma'adodi. He calls it Lach Balach.
Because what we're talking
it becomes
about,
one new entity. Well, what does Rashi have? What's the agenda of Rashi to call it one new entity, a Blia with the Tom going this way and the Tom going that way? And the Rav says that by chewing it and salivating, it's going, there's mutual Tom both. Who asked Rashi to offer that information to me? What bothers me if I don't have Rashi? And the Rav is insisting that the Rashi is revolutionizing our understanding of the Issa d'Rabbanan of Achilas Basar b'Cholav b'Yachad. It's not a Gzera. It is a Chefter Basar b'Cholav. Albeit the Rabbanan, but it's a Chefter Basar b'Cholav. They become one entity. That's called Bali Ma'adavi in Rashi's
language.
And this is, you're going to see, I mean, again, we don't have that much time. I don't know how much time we have, but this definition is going to have tremendous repercussions. Okay.
4 minutes.
Okay, we have whatever minutes we have. Let me just try to add another element into the equation. And that's the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam is a bit strange. This is the last Rambam in Perek Tes Mehilchus Macholos Asuros, and here's where the Rambam gets into the whole issue of the Gzeiros D'Rabbanan. And the Rambam makes a distinction which has to be understood. The Rambam is going to tell us that in the case where he eats gvina and now he wants to eat oaf, unfortunately I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but you'll have to trust me on this, he's allowed to eat oaf after Gvina, without any hesitations whatsoever, no requirements, no hafsekos, no kinuach, no adocha, nothing, the Rambam says. But yet, the same Rambam says the following, that if he wants to eat oaf and then eat Gvina, right, so if I asked you to just give me your knee-jerk response, what, based on our experience in Halacha, you know, the minhag ha-makom, what would you say? He wants to eat chicken, and then he wants to eat cheese. Is he allowed to do that?
No.
No, he has to wait 6 hours. The Rambam says explicitly, he has to wait kishir seuda kishesh shos. That's the Rambam's language. Now, wait a second. There's something strange going on over here. Because on the one hand, the Rambam himself is Mekil, and he says that if you eat oaf after Gvina, that's fine. But if he switches it around and he wants to eat Gvina after the oaf, all of a sudden the Rambam requires Sudachrita. Like, what's going on over here? Where is oaf in this whole constellation? So again, if we had more time, I would dramatize this kasha. There's a real difficulty in understanding the Rambam. The Rav wants to answer this difficulty based on this chakir, and he says the following: V'nira, the Rambam sover sheyesh lechalik bein gzeros. There are two different gzeros. One gzera is a gzera, and the other gzera is going to be basar b'chol of mash. He says the following: if you eat cheese after meat in one seuda, the Rambam says you have a problem called basar bein hashinayim. So again, you started your meal with basar. Now you want to eat gvina. The Rambam says no, it's a no-go. And it matters not whether you're eating meat or you're eating oaf. You want to eat gvina, you got to wait 6 hours. Kishei shos. Okay, we haven't discussed what that means, kishei shos. Says the Rav, you know what? The Rambam emphasizes basar bein hashinayim. That's the underlying motivation or reasoning for this gzera. The Rav says that's not a gzera. Basar bein hashinayim is not a gzera. Basar Bein Hashinayim is a Hefta Basar B'chol. He is eating cheese with Basar. And I don't care where that Basar is, Basar Behema, Basar Olf, Basar Chayim, makes no difference. Why? Because the Rambam embraced Rashi Shita, that the Rabbanan go beyond Gzera, and they create a new entity of Basar B'chol. So when he's chewing the cheese together with the Basar Bein Hashinayim, you have here a Heft of Basar B'chol. Again, always with Rabban, right? However, and here you have to turn to the other page. Ha'iso lechel basar achar gvina. But if he starts by eating cheese, and now he wants to eat basar, so there's no basar bein hashinayim in this case, right? Because he's eating cheese. So the Rambam says that's archaka. And if that's archaka, the Rabbanan only established that archaka when it came to doraisa, when it came to basar behema. But in the case of basar oaf, and he wants to eat the gvina first and then the basar oaf second, here the Rambam says I'm making. Why is he making here? Because what are you talking about? You're talking about gvina? There's no din of basar ben hashinayim in gvina. And if there's no din of basar of chol ben hashinayim in gvina, if there's no chol ben hashinayim, then when he chews it together, he's not chewing basar b'chol. So it's a separate archaka that the Rabbanan said, you know, he has to clean out his mouth and so forth and so on, because in his mind there's a psychological connection to the Gvina. So the Rambam says that's not going to apply to a case of O. Alright, so we'll have to pick this up. Are they up to Mincha?
Yeah, by the top line on the second page.
Yeah, sorry.
He's basically saying that the Chazal instituted a Gzeira against the Isad Rabbanan. He's saying that it's also called Achilles.
Well, I would, yeah.
Ought to Achilles.
Right. When you say Isur Drabbanan, you can use that word Isur, which he does here, or you can call it a Cheft of Basar B'chol.
Okay, it's the same thing. So you shouldn't come to eat a Cheft of Basar B'chol.
Exactly. And even though that Cheft is only Drabbanan, there's no problem with Gzeira.
Examples of that?
I don't know. I mean, it's a brilliant Cheft if you accept it. I mean, it's like. And that's how he wants to put a very difficult, the juggling of this Rambam. He put it into a whole new perspective. Again, I was a little pressed for time at the end. I would like to elaborate on this maybe tomorrow.
So if you think the whole
maybe Rabbi Sacco
the whole concept of Xer the Rabbanu was prevented from being offered Issa Deraisa, they would never put Xer on their own Chepta Visura.
That you did. Right, they did. So how do you justify that? So this is a structure that allows me to justify.